Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turning your Bibles, please, to Romans chapter 5. In verse 2, by Jesus, we have access by faith into grace in which we stand. We stand in grace. And we have access, entry into that grace by faith. Young people, you live in grace. The word stand means to be firmly fixed and established. You are immovable. Nothing can move you out of grace. You have access into that grace. You entered that grace by faith. It's Jesus who that faith is in. He's also the one who brings you into grace. By faith means by conviction of the truth of something. That's what faith is. You have a conviction. It's not an opinion. Faith is much more than an opinion. Faith is a strong, well-established, immovable conviction. In other words, I know it. I can't see it, but I know it. How do I know there is air? I can't see air because I experience all of the effects of air. I know there is air because I can experience its effects. Likewise with grace, likewise with anything that is of faith, I know it because, number one, the Word of God says it. That's where my faith comes from in Romans 10:17. And because I trust the Word of God, it becomes my experience and not just something that I know without seeing. By faith, we have access, entry into grace, and Jesus does that for us. Everything is grace. So everything is one of or several of the three parts of grace. In your life, something happens. Something good happens, and you say, it's all grace. Something bad happens, you may think, oh no, but don't think, oh no. Think, it's all grace. Because I believe God, I trust Him, and by faith, I enter and am completely, immovably established, fixed in grace. So no matter what it is, it's all grace. No matter what it relates to, maybe it's about your friends or family. Maybe it's about school. For the adults, maybe it's about your job. It's all grace. No matter what happens, it's all grace. Learn that phrase and keep it in your head. It's all grace. Why? Because it is. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us that all things are of God, and 2 Corinthians 4:15, all things are for our sake. That means that all things are all grace. It's very legitimate. It's living in reality. When something happens, good or bad, doesn't matter, we say to ourselves, it's all grace. Got an A on the test, it's all grace. Got an F on the test. It's all grace. It's always all grace. I blew it and I failed. It's all grace. I didn't study. Still all grace. I studied very hard and I got an A. Still all grace. Learn that phrase. Learn to repeat it to yourself in your thinking. It's all grace. Had a nice day with my friends today. It's all grace. Had an argument with my friend. It's all grace. It's always all grace. Now, there are three parts to grace. Sometimes people have trouble with grace, and not so much trouble with it in the sense of trouble accepting it, but trouble understanding it, trouble trusting grace. You always trust grace. But sometimes people can't, and one of the reasons that they can't, I think a common one, is because they don't really understand what grace is. Grace is most commonly defined as undeserved favor from God. But that's only one aspect. There's much more to grace than just undeserved favor. Well, there is undeserved favor. That's true. That's absolutely correct. There is undeserved favor from God. And that, of course, is in Ephesians 2:8. It is a gift. It's not deserved. It is a gift. I don't deserve anything from God. It is a gift. The Word of God says there in that passage that by grace you are saved through faith. Again, you have access into that grace, entry, through faith, trusting Him with a conviction. That not of yourselves. In other words, it's not you who's doing it. It's not your own goodness. It's not your own ability. It's not your own well-doing. It's faith. And then it says, it is a gift of God. Well, if it's a gift of God, since I didn't do anything to deserve it, I don't do anything to lose it. Once I stand in grace, and remember that means firmly fixed and established, you can't take me out. It's like this. You go to a construction site, and you stand there for a little while, but you're not careful. And then you look down and you realize you are standing in fresh concrete. And the concrete is now hardened around your feet. Good luck getting out of there. You're not going to do it. You're stuck. Well, with grace, it's much more firm than concrete. Because the firemen can come and they can break the concrete, but you can't break grace. Once you're in grace, you are there for good. Why? It's a gift. You couldn't deserve it. You can't lose it because you didn't deserve it. It was given to you freely. It was not given to you because you're a good person or you're a needy person or anything like that. It didn't have anything to do with your qualities. It had everything to do with God's qualities. Because He loves you, He established you in it. He did it when you trusted Him. Since you trust Him to be your Savior, you trust Him, whether you realize it or not, for everything else. You've been established in grace. It was a gift. Because it's a gift, it will never be removed from you. You can do great things. You can't keep the gift with the great things. You can do terrible things. Don't do them because the consequences are rough, but it doesn't change the fact that you are in grace. So even if you fail, you cannot be taken out of it. Grace will never abandon you because you are firmly established in grace. Grace will always take care of you because you are firmly established in grace. Something happens, it's all grace. Why? It's a gift. It's all grace. Everything about your life is a gift. It's all grace. In Ephesians 2:7, the Word of God says that grace is also the expression of His kindness. That kindness will be shown to you forever. Even when you're in heaven, God will continue showing you His kindness. Everything about your life is the kindness of God. It's all grace. Why am I breathing? Why am I even alive? It was the kindness of God. Why am I able to do things? Why am I able to move around? Why am I able to eat food? Why am I able to have clothes on my back? Why do I get to go to school? It's all the kindness of God. Why do I have health? It's the kindness of God. Why do I not have health? That's an interesting aspect of kindness. It's also the kindness of God when people get sick, because people who get sick usually get sick in the plan of God if they're Christians, and then it's a plan to make them rich in heaven and well rewarded. That's also kindness. It's all grace. It's all kindness. Why do I have friends? It's the kindness of God. All things are from God. It's the kindness of God. Why do I have a family? It's the kindness of God. In John 15:5, it says, without me you can do nothing. It's all the kindness of God. It's all grace. Think about that sometimes. If you get into an argument with somebody, a friend or a family member, just step back for a minute and say, you know, the fact that I have this person is the kindness of God. The fact that I'm in an argument with my brother or my sister or my mom and dad or a friend at school or something like that, would you prefer to not have them? Well, no. If I didn't have them, I would miss them. If I didn't have them, I would be very sad about it. And even though in the moment I may be angry, in reality, when I step back from my anger and I think about my life as a whole, I want them in my life. Why? That's the kindness of God. He brought them into your life. It was grace. It's all grace. That kindness will never leave you. The Word of God says that He will never leave you or forsake you. That means that grace will never leave you and grace will never forsake you. Even if you get into a very bad place in your life, grace will never leave you and grace will not forsake you. Even if things get very difficult, grace will not leave you and grace will not forsake you. It's all grace. On the other hand, if things go fantastic in your life, if you get everything you're hoping for, if everything goes exactly as planned, that also happens. People will sometimes, not all the time, but some people will then turn away from God because they forget that it was all grace. It was the kindness of God that they became successful. It was the kindness of God that things went well. On the other hand, some people are not successful in the worldly sense. In other words, they work hard, but maybe they don't make a whole lot of money. That's also the kindness of God. Why? Because for that person, there awaits a much greater reward than money. And in heaven, the rewards are far beyond money. You know what money is used for in heaven? Number one, money doesn't exist the way we know it, but the ultimate form of money on earth is gold. And that's been true for a long time. Do you know what gold is used for in heaven? Pavement. That's what the roads are made of. You're going to be walking on sidewalks made of gold. It's concrete. There's a joke. This one guy was going to die, and as he was dying, his angel came, and the guy asked his angel, can I take something with me? An angel thought about it and said, okay, one suitcase. You can take one suitcase filled with anything you want with you. And so the guy filled his suitcase with gold, and he took the gold to heaven. Now, you can't really do that, but he took the gold to heaven. And another angel came by and he said to his angel, I can understand that he would want to take something with him, but why did he choose concrete? That's what it is. What we feel is so valuable here on earth, in heaven it's common. You walk all over it. This is far beyond what we have here on earth. The kindness of God goes far beyond what we have here on earth. It starts on earth and it continues forever. Why? Because it's all grace. In Hebrews 4:16, the Word of God says that there is a throne of grace. A throne is a seat of government. That's where the king sits. When he makes decrees, laws, when he rules the country, he sits on his throne. Well, grace is a throne. That means that grace is a government. There is a government in our lives. It's all grace. So not only does grace take care of us in time of need, because it's a gift, not only is grace going to help us and be very sweet to us because it's the kindness of God, but grace will also direct us. Have you ever been in a situation where you just don't know? I've been in that situation more times than I can count. You just don't know. Why? You're a human being. You don't have all knowledge. You just don't know. You have to make a decision, but you don't know what is a good decision. You have to answer somebody, but you don't know what is the right answer or a good answer. You have to do something, but you don't know what to do. You don't know how to get it right. Grace comes in as a government. And when it does, it says there in Hebrews 4:16, you obtain help in time of need. God's government is there to be a help to us. Now, how does that work? Well, number one, it protects us. In Psalm 46:1, the Word of God says that God is our refuge and a very present help in trouble. You get in trouble, run to God. It's all grace. Anytime you get in trouble, you say, it's all grace. I'm in trouble, it's all grace. That means I have a government. I can't lose it. God will be kind to me in it. Because I have a government, I'm going to know how to deal with my trouble because God will show me what to do as a part of that government. It's my refuge. That means it's my safe place. Things are looking bad for you. You run to a safe place. That safe place is the grace of God. So in your thinking, something happens, you say, yeah, it's all grace. What you're doing is you're running to a safe place. That safe place is very real. It's not just an idea. It's much more than that. This has very real, practical, touchable expressions. In other words, it ends up in something you can see. It ends up in something you can touch. For example, I don't have enough food today. God will bring the food. He will make sure it's there. I don't have a place to live. God will make sure you have a place to live. These are very practical, real things. Well, grace is a very practical, real thing. When I say it's all grace, I'm not talking about an idea. I'm talking about several things, but one of them is a solution. I have a problem. My solution is grace. It's all grace. It really is all grace. In James 1:5, Christ gives me answers. That's part of the government. Christ gives me answers. It says there, if anybody lacks wisdom, if you don't know what to do, if you don't know how to act, if you don't know what the right decision is, if you don't know what the right answer is, ask of God. If any man lacks wisdom, and by the way, that means women too. Man is a generic term. It incorporates men and women in the Bible. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. God gives to everybody freely and in very large measure. So God's not going to give you just a little bit of an answer. God's going to give you the complete answer. God's not going to give you just a little bit of what you need. God will give you everything you need and then some. God's not going to take care of you just a little bit. God will take care of you entirely, everything about you. He will take care of you. It's all grace. And it also says He does it without reproach. Reproach is something like ridicule or making fun of you or making you feel stupid. You ever meet somebody and you say something to them and they act like you're stupid? Seriously? You thought that? Isn't that stupid of you? Well, people like that are really just trying to build themselves up. But they'll make fun of you, or they'll try to make you feel stupid. God never makes you feel stupid. God says, you didn't know? Let me give you the answer. God says, there's no way for a human being to know everything. Let me give you the answer. God says, it's not a problem if you haven't learned this. Let me give you the answer. Why? It's all grace. God is kind. It's a kind government in our lives. You don't know the decision? It's not like a person, you don't know what to do, how stupid are you? No, it's not like that at all with God. God says, I love you, and if you don't know what to do, I'll tell you. I'll be very happy to tell you. I'll be very happy to give you wisdom. I'll be very happy to give you the answers. I'll be very happy to solve problems in your life. It's all grace. He'll never think a negative thought toward you just because you didn't know. Sometimes in school you don't know and the teacher's like, I've told you 10 times. So? Now, God may have told you 10 times, but he has no problem with 11, 12, and even 57. God will tell you as many times as you need him to, and he won't think anything bad of you for it. It's grace. It's all grace. In John 16:13, it's the Holy Spirit that's giving you the answers. The amazing thing about that, the fact that it's the Holy Spirit, is that the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. So the answers are never far. It's not like you have to pray and the prayer has to go all the way to heaven when you want wisdom. Now, in truth, prayer into heaven does take place, but it's not as far as we think it is. But that's how it seems sometimes. But the fact that he's inside of you means that he knows exactly what you're asking. He knows exactly what you need. He knows exactly what you need to know. He knows exactly what he needs to do. He knows exactly what you're thinking. He knows exactly your situation. And sometimes you don't even know how to say what you're thinking, but he knows exactly what you mean. Because he lives inside of you. He can hear your thoughts. He knows how you're feeling. If you feel it, he's feeling it because he lives inside of you. If you're thinking it, he's hearing it because he lives inside of you. If there's something you desire, he knows your desires because he lives inside of you. You have a secret, he knows your secret because he lives inside of you. No matter what it is, he's always going to live inside of you and he's always going to guide you in all truth. Guide you in all truth in John 17:17 means guide you in how to use the Word of God in your life. Because the Word of God is really where the answers are. The Word of God is where reality is defined. The Word of God is something you absolutely want to have lots of in your thinking. Because it's the mind of God. It's the thing that can give you an answer for anything. And then you want to know how to use it, and the Holy Spirit shows you that. In Matthew 17:20, when you have that little bit of faith that brings you into grace, even if it's just a tiny bit, it'll bring you into grace, then nothing will be impossible for you. Absolutely nothing is impossible for the person who stands in grace because of faith. I don't care what it is. I don't care who says it's impossible. Nothing is impossible. I know situations where people were told, this is impossible. Guess what happened? The thing which everybody says is impossible, God can make it happen in a heartbeat. Nothing is impossible for you because nothing is impossible for God. You don't do things because you decide. You do things because the Holy Spirit guides you into them. But if He guides you into something that seems impossible, know this, nothing is impossible for you. Nothing. Why? Because it's all grace. To say that something is impossible means that grace doesn't cover this thing. No, grace covers absolutely everything. Grace is everything. So nothing is impossible for you because of grace. Yeah, but I'm not smart enough. Doesn't make any difference. It's all grace. I'm not strong enough. Doesn't make any difference. It's all grace. I'm not rich enough. Doesn't make any difference. It's all grace. For the person in grace, absolutely everything is possible. What if you doubt? Funny thing about doubt. Doubt is when I don't believe. I don't have faith. Well, when I don't have faith, Romans 14:23 says that's sin. But God doesn't beat me up for it at all. What God does in Romans 5:20, He says, where sin abounds, in other words, things like doubt or mistakes or things that I even shouldn't do, they can have bad results, yeah. So we don't want to enter into them because the results are rough. But nevertheless, people do make mistakes. We're human. That's just one thing that humans do. Sometimes we make mistakes. Sometimes we find it hard to trust. Sometimes we just do things the best we can and we find out we blew it. You know what? Don't worry about it. The Word of God says there, where sin abounded, in other words, where there was an abundance of mistakes, where there was an abundance of doubt, what happened? Doesn't say God beat you up. It says grace much more abounds. In other words, you may have a mistake, but grace is so much bigger than your mistake. You may doubt, but grace is so much bigger than your doubt. You may fail, but grace is so much bigger than your failure. You may think the way a person thinks and you're not sure, but grace is so much bigger than anything you're thinking. You may not know the answers, but grace is so much bigger than your lack of knowledge. Grace is enormous. The entire universe and more exists because of grace. Grace is everything. No matter what you ever get into, just say to yourself, it's all grace. Good things, it's all grace. Bad things, it's all grace. Why? Because it is. It's all grace. And grace will always be there for you. If you've never asked Christ to be your Savior, if you don't know that you're going to go to heaven when you die, tell Him that you will receive the gift that He's given you, His mercy, and that He has taken your sins away from you. And pray in your heart, Lord Jesus, I accept You as my Savior. I accept Your gift of mercy and what You have done on the cross. Save my soul. Take me to heaven when I die. And give me a relationship with You now as You come into my heart and live.